Welcome to World Ocean Radio. I'm Peter Neal, Director of the World Ocean Observatory. We often talk of waterways on World Ocean Radio, those myriad natural streams and rivers that traverse the land to connect to the sea. But we don't often address the man-made ways, the engineered connections that link ocean to ocean, penetrate the national interior, and form an artificial network of waterways that advances the transportation, distribution, and more recently, recreational needs of a nation. Of course, we all know the Panama Canal, Suez Canal, or the Grand Canal of Venice. Examples crafted over time from Panamanian swamps, the Nile Delta, and Italian coastal wetlands, into tools for trade, settlement, and economic development. Other canal systems may be less familiar. The Erie Canal, for instance, is an enormous achievement in the history of 19th century America, now more and more a footnote in our history text, if indeed history is taught at all. But in its time, the Erie Canal contributed enormously to the transfer of commodities and agriculture from the Midwest and Great Lakes region of the young United States to the Hudson River, New York, and then transformed by enterprise along the way to Europe and beyond as the source of new wealth, economic power, and political influence. As such, it was one of our most important and monumental feats in civil engineering, with enormous impact on our position in the international arena. The same can be said for the canals of France and Germany, again a skein of adapted or constructed waterways that remain in use to this day as an efficient, economical, and sustainable transportation system in a time of high fuel costs and land infrastructure inadequate to the constant demand of increased capacity and global consumption. River barge and canal transport remain a major aspect of the European economic engine. Thousands of vessels per day distribute the stone, sand, and construction materials, the fuel, and certain manufactured goods that could not otherwise be accommodated by European roads and railways to meet the demand of burgeoning affluence and population. In the Far East, Vietnam, and Thailand, canal systems also serve, in many cases, as the natural venue for floating cities of houseboats, market boats, small ferries, and local deliveries. Of all the major canals in the world, China's Grand Canal, from the Shanghai region westward into the center, and northward at one time almost to Beijing, remains the least known and available to outsiders. During a recent visit to China, I made a great effort to seek access to the canal, even to find a boat that would take me along some portion of the remaining route, to no avail. In fact, the Chinese were surprised and appalled that I would want to see such a place that does still function as a kind of industrial backwater, albeit not in any semblance to its one-time extent and vitality. As this waterway today does not resemble the tourist attractions of the restored canals in Suzhou or Hangzhou and smaller towns in the region that flourished as part of the historical canal system, my desire to explore such a place was not understood or accommodated. Recreational use of canals has become a viable modern alternative use. Ads for barge tours in French canals are familiar offerings in travel brochures. In England, where the Industrial Revolution caused the comprehensive canal systems to be built in Wales, the Midlands, and the manufacturing north, hundreds of canal boats are available for charter, long, narrow-beamed vessels with simple engines and coal stoves, piloted by amateurs along bucolic towpaths and through self-operated locks, all first constructed to serve the insatiable needs of manufacturing cities and their workforce. As with heritage sailing craft, the owners of these vessels are determined inheritors of another time and pace for living. There is even a museum where the oldest vessels are sunk in the canals to preserve them, an ironic conservation strategy that might inform certain maritime museums today elsewhere striving to meet the cost and demand of keeping historic vessels afloat. My favorite recreational canal trip has been the Göta Canal that connects Gothenburg and Stockholm, the two major cities on opposite sides of Sweden. One can make a five-day passage, quickly leaving the port-like ambience of Gothenburg and entering a pastoral center not often visited by visitors to Sweden. We traveled in midsummer, and our wonderful historic passenger vessel, built in 1907, passed through small villages decorated with boughs of greenery to welcome the season. The boat would stop and the passengers would join the dance, take a drink, have a bite, and then slowly we would move on. At one point, an extraordinary mechanical lift system of some 12 locks all in a row raised our ship hundreds of feet up from sea level to a central lake and a landscape of field and forest that was rich, quiet, and sublime. Timeless. On the final day, we passed the Royal Summer Palace as we entered the back way into Stockholm, out of the heartland, to where the beautiful city meets the sea. We will discuss these issues and more in future editions of World Ocean Radio.
World Ocean Radio is a project of the World Ocean Observatory, online at www.thew2o.net. World Ocean Radio is produced in association with WERU Community Radio, Blue Hill, Maine.